Well, today we're in lesson 8 of our study through the book of Jonah. And today, ladies, we're going to be in Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I've titled this lesson, What Are You Upset About? So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Jonah chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not this what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Jonah has delivered his message. The people of Nineveh have repented and sought God's mercy and forgiveness. God has seen that their repentance is sincere and has granted them mercy and has shown compassion on them. And Jonah? Jonah's mad. Verse 1 puts it in such perspective to me. To Jonah, this seemed very wrong. Jonah thought that God was doing something wrong. Wait a second. Back the truck up. Can God do wrong? Can he sin? No. And ladies, he can't sin, not because it would be a bad example for us. He can't sin because it goes against who he is. His justice, mercy, holiness, righteousness, perfection are all tied up in him, and God does not make mistakes, nor does he sin. Remember, just because we are seeing things that look wrong to us doesn't mean that God, who can see into the hearts and minds of men and see into eternity, is wrong. God is not wrong. It means that we are missing something. But Jonah? To Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. Truly, much of what Jonah is expressing at this point is a result of his own ugly heart. Remember our history lesson? At this time, Jonah was a prophet to a wealthy, powerful nation of Israel. At least they were wealthy and powerful in the world's terms. But Israel was also morally bankrupt. They had reduced the worship of God to little more than a list of things to check off. And then? They went and worshipped their idols as well. They are an adulterous and stiff-necked people, delighted to enjoy the blessings of God, and jealously holding on to every blessing, much like Ebenezer Scrooge. They wanted God's stuff, but they didn't want God, and they didn't want anyone else to have God's stuff. Jonah was so mad that God would dare to show mercy to these people. He felt that the mercy shown to these people somehow took away from Israel as God's chosen people, and Jonah himself as God's prophet. Look at this prayer of Jonah's, prayed in anger toward God. He actually tries to make the case that God's grace and compassion are bad things. And Jonah gives us a very unflattering view of himself here, too. He lets us know the reason he didn't go to Nineveh in the first place, because he didn't want anything good to happen to the people of Nineveh. Jonah was one of, I'm sad to say, the majority of Israelites who felt that God should bless only Israel and curse all others, especially Israel's enemies. To Jonah, God's showing mercy on the Ninevites means that Israel is no longer in the position to receive God's favor and blessing. Jonah is so overwrought over God blessing an enemy of Israel that he wants to die. Just days before, he prayed and thanked God for his miraculous rescue and for the gift of life, and now Jonah would rather be dead. Then comes the question from God. Do you have any right to be angry? And Jonah? Jonah, not answering this question, goes outside of the town, builds a little shelter, and sits where he has a good view of the town. He's ready for fire and brimstone. He sits down to watch with anticipation of the destruction of Nineveh. He wants them destroyed. He doesn't want them saved. So he sits down to wait and to see if God is going to do what he, Jonah, thinks God ought to do or not. You know what, ladies? This is all part of the mystery that Paul refers to over and over again in the New Testament, the ingrafting of the Gentiles, God's sovereign ability to have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and the utter shock that the Jews felt as they realized that the Gentiles had access to the blessings of God through Christ. As Paul explains in his letters to the Roman and Galatian churches, it is through Abraham's descendant that all the nations of the world will be blessed. That descendant was Christ. God also intended for the Gentiles to be brought in, always. Yet we get a glimpse here of how ingrained this thought was in the Jews that God's blessings were for them and for them alone, and they resented sharing any of those blessings, even when they were in full open rebellion against God themselves. Yet as we look at Jonah today, if we're honest with ourselves, aren't there times when we too have been Jonah? When perhaps we've been so hurt by someone else that we don't want anything good to happen to them. We want them to hurt as we have been hurt. We want to repay their evil with evil. But if evil does befall them, it's never enough to satisfy us. We convince ourselves that they still haven't suffered enough, that they deserve more. Or even worse, if no evil befalls them, or if perhaps those people repent and are reconciled to Christ, do we accept the repentance? Or do we, like the church in 2 Corinthians, continue to remind them of their sin, weighing them down with extra heavy burdens? Oh, ladies, if we only truly understood that if we all got what we actually deserved, we would all be in hell eternally. We shouldn't rejoice when anyone suffers, even when it is someone who has hurt us. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't report abuse and assault and theft to the police. Those authorities are given to us for a reason, and we should absolutely take advantage of them. What I am saying, though, is that we are still called to forgive those who hurt us, not to allow seeds of bitterness and resentment to grow. And as I've said before, forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things. We are called to forgive, but reconciliation is unfortunately not always possible. So my question today may seem obvious. Where are you, like Jonah, telling God that he is wrong? In what situation in your life do you want to scream, "No, God, you're wrong. That's not what needs to happen. You can't do it that way. This isn't right." Are you, like Jonah, all set to throw a fit about it? And seriously, ladies, be honest with yourselves. I admit freely that I've been there. There are definitely times I can look back on with zero pride and tell you, I have yelled at God and told him he was doing it wrong. It wasn't supposed to be like this. Take a step back and read these words that God spoke to Jonah and know that they apply to you too. Do you have any right to be angry? God knows what he is doing both in good times and in hard times for us. If there is one thing he never promised, it was that we would never have any suffering. In fact, Jesus promised the opposite, that we would suffer. However, like Paul, we can learn to be content in all circumstances, to trust that God does know what he is doing, and to let him comfort and strengthen you as he works. It isn't easy, but it is so worthwhile, and it is so necessary. He is going to have his way anyway. Isn't it better to stop trying to block his goal, and instead to walk alongside him toward it? Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com, Lesson 8. What are you upset about?